Jane Oates is a senior policy advisor and the recent president of Working Nation at workingnation.com. How are you, Jane? Welcome back to the show.
Hi, John. Great to be back. Happy November.
Yeah, it's a new month, isn't it? Here we go. And maybe not then, or perhaps coincident with that then, is the new jobs numbers. Just give me your headline on that. What did you see? What does this mean?
So, obviously, disappointing number, right? I mean, we all knew going into this that numbers always seem depressed right before a presidential election. Businesses aren't sure what's going to happen, so they're overly cautious. Two, those two hurricanes, which took such a toll in the southeast, particularly the hurricanes that came to places that weren't used to dealing with them, like North Carolina and Tennessee. And finally, you know, the 800-pound gorilla in the room, the Boeing strike. I mean, the numbers in manufacturing, losing jobs at that rate in manufacturing, really scary. And those aren't Boeing people laid off. Those are the folks who are their supply chain not adding jobs. Really scary.
Job creation in October slowed to its weakest pace since late 2020 as the impact from storms and other factors depressed the number. Non-farm payroll increased by 12,000 for the month, down sharply from September and below the Dow Jones estimate for 100,000. We got 12,000. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics reporting today, it was the smallest gain since December of 2020. I wonder if we factored those things out, what it would have been. Is there any way to know?
You know, John, the only thing that I can really point to, and this is, I'm going to geek out, but I promise just for 30 seconds. You know, the establishment survey, which is one of the basis of this number, is the survey they send to businesses and businesses send back. Normally, the time limit for that survey is 16 days. It can, according to the use case for BLS, be anywhere from 10 to 16 days. But for October, it was only 10 days. I'm going to be really optimistic and say businesses just didn't have enough time to respond. So I'm really going to hope for a big revision up next month.
I guess if you look at if you draw the line back further than October, but back 2 months or 6 months or a year or 4 years, there have been a lot of jobs created. Can you just sort of put that into some context for us?
Yeah, look, I mean, this is, I hope, a temporary blip. We've created over 7 million jobs. And this economy has been incredibly strong across all sectors. I mean, clearly, this month, again, healthcare and government jobs continue to build. And those government jobs, you know, can include education at the local level as well. They're not federal jobs. So I think those two sectors were the only two that really had a robust month. Construction went up, I think, 7,000 jobs, and construction's been a strong performer as well. But I think, you know, I think this is not a reason to panic. This is a reason to look at all the things that happened in October, put them in context, and watch for November's number and hope that it gets back to that number that's well over 100,000 jobs created every month.
I wonder, like the Fed says they want to be at 2%. I wonder what the best or the most reasonable target then is for us on unemployment. Is it 3? I mean, 3 or 4% is pretty much everybody has a job. What
That's right.
should the number? But tell me what you think a reasonable target is.
So, you know, I think between 3 and 4 is a reasonable target. I wish we could get the labor market participation rate up. You know, that means people who are able to work in age groups are really working. I wish we could get them back in because we still have 7.4 million open jobs. And some of those jobs are staying open a long time. So there's good reason for people to come back into the workforce.
Why aren't those jobs being filled?
You know, I think some of it is geography. I mean, people don't like to move for jobs, especially people as they get a little older and establish families and things like that. I think the other thing is that some people don't have the right skill sets. We're still struggling with that. You know, what are the skills, the very specific skills that employers are looking for to fill those jobs? So, I mean, I hope that our colleges, our 2 and 4 year colleges, our nonprofits get better honed in on that. I think they're doing a great job right now, but they have to get a little more specific to meet those needs of employers.
The jobs numbers were disappointing, maybe not entirely unexpected. We didn't think they would be robust. They're even worse than some folks would have hoped. And you're wondering if it's a small sample size and maybe we'll see a bounce back. But in the meantime, the markets seem to be reacting, right, Jane?
Yeah, it's unbelievable to me how the markets are disassociated with the number. Like maybe we'll see some declines next week, but people don't seem to understand the number. And maybe they don't take it too seriously until it gets into a 3 or 4 month trend.
Well, or is it possible, too, that this maybe is more pressure on the Fed to lower interest rates, and that's attractive to the markets right now?
I think that's right. I think people are done with these high interest rates, and I think they're hoping for at least another 0.25%, and maybe we'll get really lucky. Maybe we'll get a holiday surprise and get 0.5%.
Or two quarters, right? I mean, if we had 0.5% by the end of the year, I think that is, to me, that would be the surest bet. Don't you think so?
I think that's right. But, I mean, I'll take it whatever way they give it. Going down 0.5% before the new year would be really nice.
And then can you just talk about the kinds of jobs that are in favor and the sorts of jobs that are not right now, Jane?
Yeah, and, you know, I want to take a second, too, John. I know you're a big veteran supporter, and it's the beginning of November, which is a month where Working Nation celebrates veterans every day. But I just want to put a call out to your employers. You know, the unemployment rate of veterans has been historically low, under 3%, except women veterans. And that went all the way up to 3.7% this month. So I hope that all those great employers that are listening to you remember that there's women veterans out there, too, and hire them. And let's talk about what kind of jobs. I mean, healthcare, right? I mean, allied health, if you don't already have a baccalaureate degree, if you have a baccalaureate degree, going into some of the great things in the pharmaceutical or biotech space, really alive. And, you know, I've said this so many times on your show, John, and I can't say it enough. Think about government. Government's hiring is up. Government are great jobs, and it's a great way to live the democracy. If you want to spend your whole career there, that's terrific. But I think everybody should do at least a term in government, you know, at the career level, at the local level, the state level, or the federal level.
Yeah. All the people I know who have retired with jobs, with careers in the public sector, love their pensions. At least I've seen a lot of people who never got rich working, but are living rich as retirees. That's the upside of public sector work, isn't it?
And great health care. You know, you pay for it, but it's at such a reduced rate than going in as a private health care participant or even, you know, a retiree from a company. Retired government people get the best health care.
What about seasonal work? Are we right now seeing the extent to which there will be seasonal hires, or will there be a bump in the retail sector?
I hope so. And I mean, you certainly put me and I hope all your listeners in the holiday spirit with that last commercial. That was really getting me ready for Christmas. I think seasonal work is really important. You know, for people who haven't been in the workforce and want to get back, it's a great way to get your toe back in. And I think it's also great for your resume. You know, if you've had some dead space on your resume because you've been reluctant to jump back in for whatever reason, it's a great way to put some recent experience on there. And come on, it's fun. I mean, I know there's crowds and people are cranky, but what's better than helping people find the best gift or giving them a great meal after they're exhausted from shopping?
Now you are doing some of my commercials now. Well, just one last thing, Jane, though. For people who aren't that familiar with Working Nation, you've been a guest on this show many times, but let's remind folks what Working Nation is and does.
Oh, sure, John. Thank you. Working Nation is a nonprofit media company that literally just focuses on work and the solutions around how to get from where you are to where you want to be in your career path. And really welcome everybody to come to our website, look at things. Tell me what we're missing. You know, our team is amazing. They'd love to know what stories we're missing and report on them quickly.
I'm kind of curious where we are in the trades. You mentioned that a degree, and especially one in healthcare, is a great place to be. No argument there. But I continue to hear that if you are or want to be a welder or a plumber, an electrician, a carpenter, a roofer, There are pretty good paying jobs out there that my understanding is aren't all being filled.
Oh, there's always a need for people in the skilled trades, and it's a great pathway. You know, you can get into a registered apprenticeship program where you are an employee from day one, and you earn more as you learn more. So you move up from a beginning kind of apprentice worker all the way up to a journey person. And I think it's a great place to earn a fabulous living. You know, whether you're a man or a woman, women get in that trade. Women are building their percentages in the trades. And look, if you pair it a little bit, most of those registered apprenticeship programs tie to community college credit, some even four-year college credit. So you could do the hard job of that labor, that skilled labor, you know, for a few years, and then start your own business. I mean, John, I don't know about you, but getting a plumber in the Northern Virginia area, I mean, you really have to know somebody. It's hard. Or an HVAC person. So there's so much opportunity for you either to work hard for a company or to start your own business.
One of our sponsors is Norman Mechanical Plumbing Services. I'll give you their phone number in a minute, but I don't know if they come to Virginia.
I wish they would.
Well, but I think that's it actually does remind me a little bit of the commercial, because their hook is that when you call their number, the plumber answers the phone, and finding, I think, a skilled trade person that you trust and who's reasonably priced, like who knows a good electrician, right?
That's right.
They say, here's our phone number, put it in your phone and your contacts, call a plumber, because they know that we have trouble finding skilled people sometimes.
That's right. And especially when you're in crisis, you don't want to go look around or call people. You want somebody there immediately to stop the leak.
I'm looking at my phone right now in my contacts to see what that number is, now that I think about it. You and I will talk another day. Jane Oates with reflections on the jobs numbers. She's a senior policy advisor and the recent president of that site we mentioned, workingnation.com. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you so much, John.
Let's talk with Jake. Is it Stotler, the vice president of Stotler, the vice president of Fenceworks? And I have to ask you, Jake, welcome to the show, about the URL, theguyon41.com, which is the website for your business, Fenceworks. I know who the guy on 41 is, but I don't know why that's the nickname. What's that all about?
John, thanks for having me on. Excited to be here. Funny enough, so company is Fenceworks, but we're also known as the guy on 41, and that's my grandfather, Stan Asher, started 57 years ago, a little over 57 years ago, and we used to be about 7 years ago. We were there for decades. We were on Route 41, and the name just stuck. And since then, we have now moved to Northbrook, but it's hard to drop the name. It's been so iconic. So that's kind of the deal.
So people would say, hey, where do you get that fence, or who can I get to put in a basketball court or something? They go, just go to that guy on 41, and that stuck, huh?
Exactly. Yep. That's the deal.
So let's talk a little bit about that business. It's trampolines. It sounds like backyard recreational stuff. It's fencing too. Tell us about your business.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, my grandfather, Stan Asher, started the business a bit over 7 years ago, and we've been serving the North Shore and Chicagoland area for fences, basketball hoops, trampolines, and playgrounds. Full service, right, from consultation to sales, installation, and maintenance, you know, throughout the lifetime.
Is it wood fencing? Is it aluminum? Is it iron? What all do you do?
We got it all. Western red cedar, wood, chain link, composite, PVC, you name it. And then, of course, you know, we can get into basketball, trampoline, and playgrounds in a bit. But, yeah, fences, again, full service in that regard.
Yeah. Is that the majority of your business? Where do you make most of your money?
It's funny you ask that, right? Again, hence the name Fenceworks. You know, that's what most people know us for. But, you know, playgrounds and basketball and trampolines, we've been doing that, you know, just as long, right? So, again, it starts with, you know, the privacy and security of your home with our fence. But the young families, you know, moving from the city or out of state, right, and have young children, you know, these products that we offer are really the best of the best. So,
what's the trend in fencing? What's the trend? Is it something that's maintenance free, which wouldn't be wood, I guess. What do people want these days? And there's a cost component too, but where would you say the trend is?
Yeah, of course. You know, John, my main avenues are, you know, in the playground, basketball, trampoline space. And, you know, my grandfather, my uncle, my dad are, you know, mainly in the fence side. But again, I think, you know, a lot of customers love, you know, the traditional, you know, wood, you know, style that, you know, they grew up with. But now there's composite and these other products that, you know, offer, you know, various different benefits. And, you know, without getting too technical, it really comes down to, you know, what the customer's needs are and, you know, budget and so forth. And, you know, there's no one that walks through our doors that we can't work with. It's just about, you know, learning about the customer and, you know, what they're looking for. And that's what we're here to consult on. So
yeah. What's hot in the backyard?
What's hot in the backyard? So again, I would say, you know, playgrounds, basketball, trampolines have been steady over time. You know, I think nowadays, right, there's so much focus, or how would you call it? You know, there's so much, you know, issues with, you know, technology and, you know, kids being, you know, stuck to their phones. You walk into a, you know, restaurant and you see a four-year-old with an iPhone in their hand glued to it. And I'm like, we got to get this kid on a playground. I remember my most fondest memories as a kid, right? I had the trampoline, the basketball hoop and playground in my backyard. And those are the best of times with, you know, having play dates, you know, not only the fitness benefits, but, you know, the fun that comes with it. And our job is, of course, to balance, you know, providing the most fun product, you know, for your children, but keeping safety at the top of mind.
Well, that's the thing with trampolines. I thought the liability issues would make that less of a popular backyard thing. I still see some of them, and they have that sort of protective, almost fencing around the perimeter of the trampoline. Is that the product you sell? Do you custom build them, or do you order kits? How does that work?
Yeah, no, great question, John. So we are very strict with the trampoline suppliers that we have, and it's right now it's one, and we've been working with them for over two decades now. It's called Alley-Oop Trampolines, and they have a specific type of enclosure, which is a double enclosure, which basically essentially allows, there's no way for a child to, you know, fall out, right? And that is the stigma around, you know, trampolines. It's funny, my grandfather tells me the story of, you know, when you first ride a bicycle, you fall off a couple times. You stop riding a bike? No. You know, that's part of being a kid and learning, right? And with our trampolines, right, we understand, you know, the stigma that might be around it. But at the same time, if we can provide, you know, the fun of a trampoline, but, you know, combine that with the safety features that we have highly vetted, you know, we really feel that we have a product that, you know, families can rely on and trust.
Do you build the backyard swing sets with the slide and the whatever the equivalent of a jungle gym is now and the little fort, those wooden structures? That's kind of what I'm imagining. Is that part of your business too?
Absolutely. So we offer two types. So we, of course, have the traditional Pacific Cedar wood product that we, you know, build as well. And then we also have a custom vinyl product that's become super popular. Again, with, you know, both the wood and the vinyl, it's very modular, right? So if you're, you know, you have, you know, younger children, right? Maybe a baby on the way and a two-year-old, and it's maybe not the right time for monkey bars, right? You text Jake, hey, Jake, you know, the kids are a little bit older. We're ready for monkey bars. And everything's very modular. So no matter, you know, your budget or, you know, the type of, you know, products or, you know, components that your kids may gravitate towards, the playgrounds they're seeing, you know, throughout the community, we can really curate it to your needs at that specific time, really a product that you can grow with.
You do see a lot of beautiful backyard basketball courts these days, and I'm envious of those. We had a driveway, and it was fine, but it wasn't what you can do now. Do you do the surface, or do you just do the pole? What do you do?
So we do not do the courts themselves, but we do the full installation of the basketball hoop. So there's plenty of customers that may have, you know, a half court in their backyard already, whether it's a concrete slab or another material, and then we'll come in and do our bread and butter, which is the basketball hoop installation. But I would say a large majority, if not, you know, 90% of our customers, it's going in their driveway at this time.
How's business these days? I suppose it was busy during the pandemic.
Absolutely.
Was that true? And then what's happened since?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, COVID was horrible, right? It was a tough time. I think it was a time where people reflected and said, look, you know, we're going to be inside for a bit. You know, how can we spruce up our backyard and make it a fun environment for our kids? And, you know, while we're, you know, again, debatable, you know, where we're at with COVID at this time, you know, people really saw the value in investing in, you know, in their home, right? And the products they have for their children. And it's not just for their children, right? It's their extended family, it's friends and family. And I think people truly see the value in having a quality product that they can, you know, entertain not only their family, but their friends. So, you know, COVID was horrible, but I think it really did shine light into the value of having, you know, the products that we have, you know, in your backyard. But, you know, business has been great. Yeah.
Jake Stotter is the vice president at Fenceworks, and the website is the guy on 41. And that's how you're supposed to say it, too. The guy on 41.com. That's the guy on 41.com. Jake, good on you all. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks, John. It was a pleasure.
More business news on the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. We're learning more about Google's plans for the Thompson Center in Chicago. Renderings released this week show a multi-terrace atrium with greenery featuring seating, restaurants, and retail. Another rendering from the northwest corner of Randolph and Clark shows a second-level balcony overlooking the street. Two real estate developers are redeveloping the former State of Illinois building for Google. The tech giant will purchase the property when the work is completed and is planning to move in sometime in 2026. Suburban-based Baxter International has restarted production of IV solutions after hurricane damage forced the company to shut down its plant in Marion, North Carolina. The facility produced about 60% of the IV solutions used daily in the U.S. The plant has started to produce limited quantities, but output is expected to be ramped up. Added quality and safety checks are in place as the facility gears up. IV solutions are not expected to ship out from the facility until late November at the earliest. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Time for the business of food. Here's Steve Alexander.
Thank you, and it's a Mr. Fizz Friday.
Hello, Steve.
Hey, Jim. Hang in there. We'll see what's on your mind after I thank the Chevy Silverado for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Find out how at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
And now, the end is near.
Yeah, Steve, you know, it's hard to believe, but the season is dwindling, so it's time to finish up the garden. We have had a little taste of the fall to come. Badly needed moisture, a little bit of it we got. But, you know, it's interesting because I remember many years ago when we had this happen, had a beautiful fall right after the first of the year. The cold and snow hit. Quite a bit of snow in January. As I recall, it was deep. It might even have been knee-deep. So it could happen here, too. But lots of stuff to do in the garden. And, you know, the inclement weather will get here, so the sooner we do it, the better off. First of all, keep raking the leaves. They're falling because of this terrific wind we've had this last week, and a lot of places are pretty deep. Get them off your lawn. If you put them in the flower beds, that's good to do. They'll make mulch there, but don't leave them on the lawn. There's still some time to make lawn repairs, by the way. Mow an edge. Then scratch up the bed areas with a garden cultivator and seed with half perennial ryegrass and half Kentucky bluegrass. I like to firm the seed in with the back of a wire leaf rake. It's not going to germinate until spring, but it's going to be in there a lot sooner than what you can get in the spring to do it. There's still a lot of time to thin out and replant overgrown perennials. You can still dig the daylilies, hostas, and so forth, divide them, put them back where you want them. And if you have leftovers, often neighbors are going to welcome those things. They may be looking for just the things that you have. Be sure that you set labels out so you know what went where.
Mr. Fizz, Jim Fizzell, our gardening guru, and we are running out of time for today, sir. I know you've got a lot more you want to add as we wrap up the gardening season. How about coming back again next Friday?
Be glad to do that. We'll look forward to it, Steve. Thanks.
Okie doke. Sounds good. On the food calendar, it's National Cinnamon Day. It's National Calzone Day. It is National Deep Fried Clams Day. And it's National Vinegar Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Comfort food time. Folks in Highland Park, no place to go for that, is Michael's Grill and Salad Bar. Ryan Gamperl is on a phone line. He's the owner there, and he joins us now on WGN. Hi, Ryan. How are you?
Great, John. Thanks for having me.
You're also, though, a reminder that you have to be an innovator. You've got to be flexible enough that when circumstances change, you need to change with them, right?
Absolutely. We're here to talk today about our melting cheese. And, you know, that product is something that our customer base knows very well. Our most popular order here at Michael's is a build-your-own salad with a side of cheese fries. So cheese is all over our menu, and it's a thing that we don't take lightly around here. So we had a problem, and we had to solve it.
How did the problem come up?
You know, we're a business much like your last company up here in the North Shore, a real old legacy business, 1977. And we'd been serving the same melted cold-packed cheddar cheese for our French fries, on our char burgers and our dogs, on our potatoes. And, you know, just without warning, one day last year, late in the year, we saw it breaking and burning, and the consistency was just gone, and we were at a loss. We didn't know what to do. We thought that it was a bad case or a bad couple cases, but it turned out the recipe had changed, and all of a sudden we were left with a massive problem of quality on our hands. So
yeah, was the provider of that cheese that you use just making a cost cutting effort, and they didn't bother to tell everybody?
You know, we don't know all the details of all of that. We know that we were really hoping they would just solve the problem. And so while we were walking out our solutions, it was all about a contingency. What happens if, and we can't sit still while we wait for someone else to solve our problem. So I'm not exactly sure the details of all of that. I just know that we solved the problem ourselves quicker and to a place where we were happier with it, and so were our customers.
You went to a place in Wisconsin and said, okay, here's what we need. We need a new recipe for cheese, huh?
Yeah, not just a place, the place. We hopped in our car with a melting pot. Adam and I ran up to Mars Cheese Castle in Kenosha, Wisconsin, you know, right on 94 there.
Yep.
And we brought the melting pot into the bar, sat in there, and just started melting cheese to see if we could find a product that we liked. And we did find one. We bought the whole lot of it. It was like 40-some cases of cheese that we left with there that day just to get us, you know, through another couple days of trying to figure out what to do. And it turned out that producer, local Wisconsin cheese, and they said, hey, why don't we work on a recipe for you? And that's what happened. So very exciting. And we now sell Michael's premium melting cheese all day, every day here at Michael's in Highland Park.
And it's in other retail points too, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's the most exciting part, was we worked through this solution, and the feedback wasn't just, you know, oh, thank you for solving the problem. It was also like, you need to share this with other people that are experiencing your problem. So, you know, we ended up packaging it in a 2 10-pound tubs that is available wholesale through Sysco Foods. So all the restaurants and country clubs and things like, you know, places that are making food, they can, if they work with Sysco, they can buy it through Sysco Foods wholesale and use it for their businesses. It makes for great halfway house cheese on all the golf courses. And then if it's a great starter for bechamels, or they can just melt it and use it the way we do on a char cheddar burger. It makes a regular hamburger turn into a rich, savory, delicious cheeseburger. So
we got to go, but this is a great sort of business story. When I go to your restaurant, though, what do you recommend I order?
Oh, absolutely. You know, tomorrow's a great day to come around. We have the grand reopening of Second Street. We had a construction project all summer. We have our Stews and Brews event as well in the evening. here in Highland Park. So if you're coming by, cheese fries and a jumbo chili cheese dog or a char cheddar burger would be my recommendation. You can leave with the retail cup, too. We have the tub for retail here in shop. Or you can get it at any of the Sunset Foods or Grand Food Centers all along the North Shore.
Ryan Gamperl is the owner of Michael's Grill and Salad Bar. EatMichaels.online. Is that the website, Mike? Or Ryan?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
EatMichaels.online. Ryan, congratulations. Sounds delicious. I'm interested. We appreciate your time.
Absolutely. We look forward to seeing everybody tomorrow.